Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Frobhow. We're your hosts, Odd and Rags. I know you're excited, Odd.
I'm so excited. It's number one, it's 9 p.m. and I am not dying and don't want to go to sleep. So there's one thing. Number two, we interview Olive from Queer Skate Alliance this week, and it is a really great interview, and I'm so excited to share it with everyone. Rags and I both have been, you know, not so secretly obsessed with QSA, and we're really excited that we got the honor. I think that sounds really hilarious, but we had the privilege of talking to Olive about starting Queer Skate Alliance, about the importance of inclusivity. And they are a really smart and compassionate human. And I think that we can all learn a lot about how we can better push the skate community to evolve and dismantle a lot of problematic stuff that exists within our community and outside of our community from Olive. And so I think it's just something that everybody should listen to, and you will love it.
So we give everybody the slow pitch. Tell us about yourself.
Just myself personally. My name is Olive, and I use they, them pronouns, and I started Queer Skate Alliance, which has been the number one thing on my plate as of recently. But I also work at Wicked Skatewear, and have been skating since I grew up, and really love being involved in like the skate industry side of things, as well as like the actually roller skating side of things. Queer Skate Alliance has been a lot of fun for a lot of different reasons. Like the reasons that the project started kind of and where it has gotten now have been different. And so it's been kind of a cool evolving like learning process along the way. But I just still love a lot of different aspects of skating and of the skate community, I suppose.
So can you tell us a little bit about what Queer Skate Alliance is?
Sure. So when I started Queer Skate Alliance, I think the number one thing that stood out was that folks talked a lot in the skate community about like inclusion and that sort of thing. But the images that I was seeing didn't always resonate as far as being a queer. I still felt like we were sort of seeing only maybe one or two kind of representations. And so I'm kind of just like highlighting all the rad folks that I knew were doing things that kind of weren't getting that appreciation, but also knowing that that was going to evolve, obviously, that like the things that we were talking about at the time, you know, I think sometimes you get those things figured out and then need to move on to the next things. And so that is going to be a constant process also. But there are, for as much like progress as we've made in the skate community, there are a lot of things that are still a problem. So I think like it is just as much highlighting folks and the great work that they do as much as it is like seeing where there are still a lot of issues and kind of like working to build constructive ways to work through those. And make ultimately safer and better skate communities for everybody.
So what has been some of the biggest changes that you've seen? I would like to credit, you know, Queer Skate Alliance for a lot of the stuff that we've seen in the past few years, but like, what are some things that you are like most proud of?
I'm always like, you know, like I suppose like kind of what's the next thing sort of thing. I think that the Queer Skate Alliance game at RollerCon, while I learned a lot from it, was a really awesome moment. I think reflecting on it now, I realize how small that is to folks who don't attend RollerCon and whatnot. But truly, like in the moment and on the ground at that event, the way that folks interacted in that team, I think opened a lot of people's eyes to the way that folks could interact within their team structure, kind of getting together and saying your pronouns before you did anything else, and sort of just like having the space where everyone like knew they were queer, but I guess in like different ways, and sort of being able to embrace that. And you know, I think sometimes standing around a lot of folks that look very different reminds you how different that queer can look, which is important for a lot of people. And I think that The other thing that was really interesting was that when we started having conversations through Queer Skate Alliance, like Coffee and Chaos and some of those things, or even just like putting up question box on, you know, Instagram or whatever, was that like a lot of folks didn't really feel like they were like enough kind of for their community, sort of this notion of feeling queer enough. And I think that that looks like all different ways. So not that could be like a million segues, but that's really been a thing that has come up a lot, or that we keep kind of coming back to, is like making sure that that kind of represents all of the many ways that queer can look like in the skating community.
And so, you know, you're talking also about a lot of things that need to change in the future. So what are some things that you're seeing as some of the biggest problems that we need to start tackling next?
I think like we're definitely in a time where we know that we need to listen to Black voices more. That includes Black queer voices, that includes Black trans voices, Black queer voices in the myriad of ways that can look, like queer voices in general. So that's super important. I know that I mentioned y'all that accessibility and whatnot has just been really important. The ways in which Queer Skate Alliance can bring in more captioning or more like ASL interpreters where that's a possibility, or those kind of things, that's been important. Even just with rollouts and like having spaces that are wheelchair accessible, or making sure that that is also something that folks keep in mind. I don't know that I see that being kept in mind in a lot of other like skate meetups and things. So that has kind of evolved that way too. I think we talk like a lot about, you know, diversity and inclusion committees and that kind of stuff, these kind of like policy ways that we can be maybe more inclusive to queers. But I don't think that that happens on like the ground level as often as folks think. Like, I think a lot of folks still get misgendered. I know a lot of folks still get misgendered. I still get misgendered. A lot of things you have to like sign up that you are a male or female skater to like even participate. So sometimes just like structurally built into the way that you can even sign up to skate for a thing, there's this real like binary assumption or like thing that takes place. So sometimes as simple as that, but also in these really complex ways and just the different ways that people identify.
Yeah. And I think, so I saw, you know, you saying that you wanted to do more work around accessibility based activism and things like that. And it made me think of a lot of the work that Smacktivist has been doing from Gotham. Absolutely. Around being more inclusive around neurodiversity, especially in coaching, which is, you know, not something I think that neurotypical people really think about, even just in like practice. It's made me really open my eyes into what accessibility can look like and what inclusion in those spaces in terms of accessibility looks like too.
Yeah, big time. I definitely have learned a lot from the things that Max shares and about their experience, but also the work that they do and kind of unpacking some of those things for sure.
I know that QSA is doing like really amazing stuff because I'm the person that's reposting everything on the Instagram page. But could you just like walk us through like what are some like things that you're doing for the skate community like by and large? Like I know that you have you have a seminar, Knapsack.
So I guess like different projects kind of going on right now. The Knapsack Collective project will be going on Saturday. And that is with Max and with Bonnie Thunders and OMG and with Bonds, who used to skate for VRDL. And we'll be unpacking specifically like whiteness and the structures of whiteness that keep folks in situations that are shitty, quite frankly. And so really embarking on that, I think that there are a lot of different ways that folks talk about like things that are happening to Black skaters, but not the ways in which white people hold up those structures and take part in those actions. And so we are really specifically looking at the ways in which white people play a role in those things in the skate community that like continue to oppress Black people and then other marginalized communities, you know, as well, but particularly Black people and Black skaters. So the Knapsack project is one. Before we launched that, we were really focused on a project that I had called like Safe Skate Project. The pandemic like is still happening right now. And I do know that a lot of folks like skate for mental health reasons or that like activity is a great release for that. But I think that it's really important to focus on just ways to do that safe. I think like the rules for where everyone's at, you know, depending on location can vary. So like for some folks that's a mask, and for some folks that's not the case in their area. Maybe it's going on a solo skate or whatever it is, but just really focusing on the ways that we can be safe through the pandemic in skating. I guess that as I sort of focused on that, I thought about that, like, that would be probably something we should be doing anyways. Like, that's good for the pandemic, but also, like, there are a lot of resources to keep folks safe if they're going to be starting to skate. Like, safety looks a lot of different ways to a lot of different folks. So that could be promoting safety equipment at shops. Five Stride had offered to work with Queer Skate Alliance to do like a 5% off, you know, helmet type thing for any new skater. So even just like small stuff to get folks access to safety gear could be, you know, a good focus in the future as we hopefully move out of pandemic world, you know, eventually. But that is also an evolving thing for sure.
Yeah. I mean, because like roller skate sales are like skyrocketing right now. So having that sort of resource is actually really important, because now is not the time to be going to a hospital. Now is not the time to be getting hurt.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's kind of a part of the equation that maybe folks miss sometimes. Like, even if you are just going out, you know, safe and by yourself, you could always have an accident fall. So we've really been kind of promoting, you know, whatever pads you do feel comfortable wearing. I know that looks different to folks too, but whatever you have, whatever is comfortable, and then helping folks get access to stuff if they don't have safety gear, because gear is expensive. For sure. Yeah, that's definitely like a barrier to entry. Skate shops being like totally, you know, busy and sold out of skates is very weird in this like dynamic of pandemic life also. And that's been a weird thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I also like thinking about safe skating, like I live in like a city and close to the pandemic. And I mean, we're in the epicenter in New Jersey, and I have been going out on skates wasn't allowed to go outside to exercise because of our state policy in our city policy until a couple of weeks ago. And then I've been going outside to skate, and it's been really nice and wonderful, but I'm also like super aware of like my mask, and like people just like are pretending that the pandemic doesn't exist. They're like outside with huge groups of people and no mask on, no nothing. And I'm like, it makes me so anxious.
It's rather alarming.
Yeah.
it's definitely like it feels like a lot of folks have forgotten that it's still a thing, but it's still a thing.
Yes.
And it's still a thing, folks.
Still a thing.
Yeah. And I just like, I'm also super like the most clumsy human. Ags can attest to this. And
I think it's a queer thing though.
It's just like, I'm just like all like jelly limbs. and I like fall so much, and my partner, every time I leave to go skate, he's like, you need to wear a helmet. And I'm like, but it's so hot. And he's like, literally you fall walking without skates on, can you please put more pads on? And I'm like, fine.
Yeah, you just never know. Like, ironically enough, my partner and I have a dog, so the only time that we were leaving the house for a period of time was like to walk the dog. So my partner fell on the corner with the dog and like totally busted knee, like open type thing, like probably needed at least one stitch, but we weren't going to do an urgent care right now type thing. And then like a week later, I fell in the same spot and busted the same knee. So like even not skating, right? Like walking your dog, weird shit can happen.
Yeah. I mean, I also fell like totally sober and knocked out all my front teeth. So like, I'm with you. I really do need pads like on all the time.
For sure.
Yeah, and like so I think it's really good that you're like emphasizing that, because I think I watch videos of like Esther Jen, you know, and she's like going out and she looks super amazing and like doing backflips and like wearing only skates, and I'm like, I could do that. Like, that's not true at all.
I think that like the debate to wear pads or not will probably be around in the skating world forever. You know, like some folks feel comfortable in it and some don't. Honestly, with bikes, it's kind of the same way. Like, some people are going to wear their helmet every time, and some people just like aren't, they're just not. I do think that like it's kind of cool to showcase how like safety equipment and stuff can be part of that process to getting it to look really good too. Like, sometimes that really final version probably took like 75 falls and maybe knee pads and maybe two busted sets of wrist guards or like whatever it was. And I think that there's kind of like a, I don't know, like a humbleness in that too. So kind of part of the skating experience that I like, I think. But yeah, emphasizing, I think there's a lot of folks joining skating right now not to play derby. Like, I know that the derby folks don't want to hear that, and I'm super sorry to tell you, but like one thing that we're seeing, like even at Wicked for sure, is outdoor skates. Like, nobody quite frankly wants like intro derby skates right now. They're specifically looking for like tall boot, outdoor, you know, fun type skating, park skating, that kind of stuff. So like, yeah, emphasizing wearing stuff while you're learning to skate outside and skate curbs and do grinds and stuff is probably not a bad idea. But, you know, ultimately I'll never win the argument of like, should skaters wear their gear? Because I think that will probably be around forever. So safe skating overall is a good thing to promote, I think, for like a lot of different reasons.
Well, I also like safe skating because it's not just about gear. It's about knowing about your skates. It's about knowing you should cross train and you should stretch and you should be doing other things because skating can hurt you in different ways and you're using muscles that you're not used to. So like when you rolled this out, when QSA rolled this out, and I noticed, you know, there was this emphasis on this isn't just about pads, this is about skating overall and being healthy overall with skating. You know, and if that means cross training, that means hydrating extra because you're going out in the midday sun, however that needs to look so you can safely skate.
For sure.
That's important. I really do think that is important because I think that we get into a hobby and we kind of just throw ourselves at it and we kind of forget that a lot of things need to happen in order for us to partake in it safely, especially during a pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it also led me to really thinking about the ways in which we maybe let folks down once they've been skating a while and then have been injured. Like I have had personal experiences with that, but you know, like kind of giving folks those tools, whether they're things that are uplifting or like you said, things that are about maybe mental health or hydration or even some of those basic tools that can really help if you're like home and injured and, you know, like laid up from skating for a while, because that happens to even the best of skaters like eventually. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it got me thinking about how that would be a good tool for even folks who skated and maybe got injured or again, like beyond pandemic life and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking about my poor feet. I have like really bad blisters on the bottom of them from not skating and my callus is going away. And I just like, I think the Rags and I both have been injured or had surgery or something and come back. And it is always really weird. And your body is almost like new. And thinking about trying to come back, or even if you just get a new pair of skates, like I switched to Moxie boots and got, and then replaced the plate and then got sliders. And then like all of those changes made my skates feel so different. And even then you're like, I don't like, it's about knowing your skate and how it feels and like what you can do on it at first and before you go crazy and, you know, try backflips.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. Part of that process to get there.
Wait, you don't go straight for the backflip? Like, that's my go-to.
I will never do a backflip.
I have never in my life done a backflip.
I'm too scared. I think I would break my neck.
Maybe on a trampoline. I might have lied, like maybe on a trampoline, but that's about it.
Gives me heart palpitations. I would totally do a front flip.
Yeah.
No, I like can't be upside down. It's like the whole thing. Sure. I failed out of gymnastics as a child because I wouldn't go upside down.
Beyond like the safe skate project and stuff, I think prior to that was really like a Q&A type stuff and highlighting each skater. I think it seemed like I kind of saw an influx in Q&A type stuff after that, which was pretty rad because I think that there's a lot of folks skating who do awesome stuff that we don't get to know about. So it's been cool to see people share more about like who's on their team and kind of what they stand for and like why they skate and some of those reasons too. I think that like groups like Queer Skate Alliance or BIPOC Who Skate have kind of like, I think like ushered in an era where that's kind of important, to be honest. Like I think a lot of folks skated without their story really being like told for a long time. And I do think that people benefited off of that for a long time too. So it's rad to see folks kind of empowered and then also like starting their own different things, podcasts or projects or other skate groups or like local skate groups. Like Queer Skate Alliance doesn't necessarily have chapters or anything, but there are definitely folks who have thought it was rad and who have like found a pocket of queer skaters in their own city or whatever. And I think that's exactly what it's meant to inspire. And that should probably look different everywhere, you know?
And I'm smiling like a crazy person because I am like super excited because, you know, I came into the skating world like knowing almost nothing and about like roller skating at all or derby or park skating or anything. And then kind of coming in through QSA and like finding all of these like people who are being highlighted through you all like really opened up my eyes, which is like, it's so exciting. And also like, you know, BIPOC Who Skate like they also have done like such a good job in like highlighting all the different types of people who skate. And I just like, it really does make me so excited for all the people who are doing roller skating now. And like also all of the white people who have been taking up space in roller skating communities are now being pushed aside in like this like amazing way. And it makes me so happy because it's like all these like new amazing skaters that I haven't seen before. And I get to like, I like my Instagram. I like go and it used to be just like dogs, but now it's like all these amazing, crazy skaters. Like I just like, I'm so excited. That's really cheesy, but like it makes me, I'm also PMSing, so I'm gonna, mics are crying because I'm so excited. But yeah, I just like, I think it's really amazing. I'm repeating myself because I'm really excited. But
no, it's awesome that it's had that impact for folks. Yeah. I think that like it's folks didn't want to say or address or admit for something for a while, or I guess people were bringing it up and no one was listening. I think that would maybe be better stated. That like the image that we've been like feeding people of skating has looked the same for like a long time, and that's not what's happening on the ground. And I think a lot of us who skate or who find roller derby find it because we maybe don't like fit in certain other circles and stuff. So I think that community looks even more unique and has even more like layers to it. So to present this like single image of what a derby skater looks like or whatever is really like selling a lot of folks short, because there's just so much more to a lot of communities than that. And I will say that I think it's interesting when like any brand or organization or group or anything in the roller derby or skating community like says that they are that kind of in touch with their community, but then like struggles so much to find those people or to like actually be in touch with those people. Like if you are in fact that ingrained with community, then those people are right there, you know, like the, you shouldn't have to look for them that hard. I think that exists like beyond algorithms and all those kinds of things. I think that has a lot more to do with being like actually engaged with your community at like a ground level than like, yeah, anything that happens on the internet or anything like that. So,
yeah, I mean, that's like, I feel like every single like league that I've been a part of in some way, like, or just like a skating group, it definitely, that has like echoed a lot. And it's just like, well, we don't know how, but we are really inclusive.
Yeah, I think that the word inclusion probably needs a real solid unpacking. That's tune in Saturday. that's that episode. But yeah, I think we use those terms really loosely, but that doesn't really look different on the ground level with folks skating in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. It also is just like, if you have to say that you're inclusive, then you're probably not. And if you really have to go out of your way to say it, then like, it's not. And I'm not sorry for calling people out on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I've thought about that a lot with folks kind of like being not sure whether they should post some kind of a Black Lives Matter statement and like getting it right or not. What comes to mind is like, you're not so worried that you're going to get the statement wrong. You're worried that it's going to expose that you have been not doing good at this for like a long time. Like that's actually the issue here. You're worried that it's going to highlight the fact that your league doesn't have inclusion, that like it's been easy to make posts, but the minute you post that, people are going to call you on it because there are people who have been booted out of your league or who have left or who have, you know, been through really shitty things with this league or whatever league. And so, yeah, I think that has been really capitalized on kind of recently.
Yeah, it really has. But this actually brings up a really good question of why inclusion is important in the skating community. I mean, I know that we know, but sometimes just knowing that we know isn't good enough. We actually have to like spell it out, because I think a lot of people think that they're inclusive, they're not, and then they're like, it's fine though. No, it's not fine. It's important.
Yeah. I suppose I wish more of those people realized how much it really hurts people on like a deeply personal level. I mean, I'm a big feely person, so that just makes like, that would just be bum for people, but people don't seem to get that. I think people get blinded by their own skating ego trip and like a number of things, to be honest. I think that, I mean, like, why is inclusion important? Like you said, we know, but I think ultimately, like, because when you don't, like, exclusion is painful and exclusion is costly, and exclusion in the skate community might look like just being not at practice, but exclusion in general for people can look like really ugly and like sometimes like loss of life. So I think that like, it's easy to like not have conversations about that, but I think that like, to not exist in a lot of privilege, like to go on. It's like when folks ask, like, well, why can't it just be skating? You know, like, why can't we just like not worry about some of these issues? It's like, well, what a privilege to like not have to worry about any of these other things, you know, but that's just not the experience for a number of folks. And so, and it causes like real damage and real hurt for folks at the skating level. And like, yeah, like really on a serious level sometimes too, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I feel as if historically and even present day, skating is in itself like a really sort of revolutionary thing in how it has opened up a lot of venues, how the Black community has basically, you know, they basically made it a thing, you know, with the jam skating, the dance skating. Like across the board, skating itself is political. Yeah. And to say that it's not political is incorrect, because it has actually really done a lot politically, I think, for a lot of the people in like a lot of skaters in leagues and even outside of leagues, you know, because reclaiming your body, reclaiming yourself, feeling strong and empowered as femmes, femme identifying, genderqueer people is empowering, and it is political to regain that and actually feel like you're emboldened to go ahead and do something.
Yeah, absolutely. I think like you mentioned, like by nature of a lot of skate culture coming from Black skating rinks and whatnot, the fight to keep a rink against gentrification and against segregation and whatnot is political in and of itself. So to deny that is to deny like a huge piece of skating history. Right. Yeah. And then we see that manifested, unfortunately, in a lot of ways today in rinks still, but also in like derby culture and stuff, and the way that that's kind of evolved, and in the ways that park skating has evolved, and the way that jam skating has evolved. And yeah, agreed.
Yeah. So basically we just have to keep being political, you know, keep feeling emboldened, but emphasis on emboldened and amplifying also marginalized people when you're being emboldened. If you have the chance to do it, do it.
I like also want to say like my gender identity and someone's race and like, or sexual identity, like that, it isn't like political and it's not a choice. And I just hate how it is seen as like another thing that is like a league or a community has to do to mm-hmm. like, you know, like we have to do this to like, you know, be PC or whatever. I mean, I'm just maybe having a little bit of flashbacks. So feeling a little touchy about this.
Well, it shouldn't be a chore.
Yeah.
You know, this shouldn't have to feel like a necessity. This should just feel like something that is happening, you know, naturally. And we shouldn't have to be having conversations around this also, you know, but we are.
Right. And I think, well, and I'm thinking about the, like, what they do in Canada before, like, events, they, you know, acknowledge that a lot of places exist on First Nation land, and they explain that to the crowd and explain what tribe who used to live there. And I mean, and now that has become like a normal practice. And I would like to see things like that happening where we all live, and, you know, in regards to like pronouns and even like Indigenous people, like I want everybody to be, this shouldn't be a chore to like make people feel included. Like, it's amazing to me to see, like, just like this year, really seeing correct pronouns being used for skaters at like large tournaments and events, and like people working on pronouncing like skater names and team names correctly when they weren't in English. Yeah, and things like that. Like, and that happened this year.
Yeah. Like you said, that's kind of what I was getting at earlier. Like, folks think that there's been so much progress, but like there are so many of those things that are very new. Or like if you ask trans skaters, you know, what their experience was like 5 years ago versus now, it is like totally like night and day. I think that to not work on more inclusive spaces is also not, I mean, I acknowledge that I exist in a bubble where a lot of my folks, the folks around me, like, talk about these issues or are, you know, like, focused on social justice issues and really have this at the forefront of their mind. But I do really, I wouldn't be so involved with Queer Skate Alliance if I also didn't really believe that, like, this is just the way that things are headed, and that like this is the way that the future is going. Like when I work with any kids ever and like junior roller derby type stuff, like they ask each other pronouns and they're so excited to hear mine, and like they're honestly just like there with so many other things that like we weren't, or that I wasn't even 5 years ago and whatnot, admittedly. So like I think that like we're heading there in general. Like that is a larger societal shift to kind of like break down these things that like hold people back, or that assume that they only exist one way, and to really like make these spaces more accessible to folks across so many different levels. Because I think if you don't, I don't think we'll have roller derby in 5 years. Like I think for me, it's very like we can either figure this out, or like a lot of us are going to be like, no, I'm going to put my effort somewhere else, because we deserve to be in a world where people like have spaces to feel comfortable and access to the things that they need to thrive and stuff, you know? So like, I don't know. I mean, I guess for me, sorry, roller derby, but like, if we can't figure it out, then like, it's going to be the Queer Something Else Alliance, like the something else with an S. I don't know. I'll have to figure it out. But like, that work is important, you know, like beyond that. So I think that's kind of a shift that we're going to see across a lot of things. I think it needed to happen in the world of derby and skate culture, but that is also happening across the board. People are asking like where their money goes and who owns what they want to invest in and where they fit into that picture, and if it's something that's actually for them, you know, by people who look like them or not, and like why that is. And they're challenging a lot of these things at a lot of structural levels, and so I kind of just hope that continues.
That's all that I want. I just want, out of any of the things that are happening, I mean, I want like change, long-term change, but just like sustainability. Like it isn't just for now that these things need to happen. Again, it's like not an appeasement to just like me, but like to be kind and respectful to everybody's existence.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess I am personally like inspired by like junior derby and younger skaters a lot, because Absolutely. Often when I struggle with conversations with like folks who've been around in derby a little bit longer, or who are just really unwilling to budge on these things, I'm like, honestly, like it's not for me. Like you said, like at some point I'm like, I don't care what you call me, like these kids all get it, you know? And that's like, they're moving up and going to boot you out of the way anyways. So like,
yeah, I no, I mean,
that sounds very nice, but like that is just how people age through the process. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. I mean, they're like, honestly, our junior skaters are like incredible, like athletes, just like they're all, they just make me so proud. They like do things I will never be able to do. And also just like you said, it's like they are just like open to whatever. Like you're just like, you need to ask someone's pronouns before you, you know, talk to them. Like say your pronouns when you introduce yourself, and they're like, cool, whatever. And I like, and we have like skaters who like date each other, and I like wouldn't have ever been comfortable at their age, like being open about that stuff at all. And I'm just like so proud of like all of our little cute queer babies.
Absolutely. I feel that way also. Somebody the other day told me that Queer Skate Alliance followed them on Instagram, and they like peaked as a baby queer, and I was like, oh my god, like that's it, I made it.
Yes.
That's the kind of influence you want to leave, you know? I don't know. Or hearing you say things like, you know, finally opening up Instagram and like flipping through and even just like seeing maybe faces that you resonate with a little bit better, or like stories that, you know, yeah, resonate a little bit better. That's great to know. That's exactly what it's for and what it should be doing, hopefully. So
just that, like, I am so passionate in my like, I mean, like my skating life is my personal life, but like my personal life in other places and like my professional life are all about like addressing injustice and inequality. And I think that I hope that other people feel that is kind of their life too, but it also should be in our skate communities. And I was like really sorely disappointed that there wasn't more diversity, or that like, you know, when we had a black skater come, that everybody was like, oh my gosh, we have to keep them, you know, like, and I'm just like, it's just frustrating. Cause like that's, we also are in New Jersey, which is the most diverse state. Like we should have a more diverse community and like in the skate world, like it's embarrassing.
Sure. I think that like, as I sort of like unpack some of it on my own, even to just have this chat on Saturday, I think a lot about the way that the community kind of like pegs itself as revolutionary, or as like, Yeah, kind of like progressive in this way, but it is really rooted in white feminism. Like, I think if we're, a lot of us are honest, like, that's how we got here, you know, and that has needed to evolve. And so therefore, like, Derby has needed to evolve. And so even in talking and challenging, like, VR and that kind of thing, like, that kind of conversation comes up, you know, like, that team really stemmed out of a lot of, like, early, like, DIY feminist building around the sport that was important, but like the way that people talk about feminism 5 years ago, you know, and now is different too. So that has also needed to evolve. And I think the folks who like came here for that reason, came to roller derby for that reason, and then like forgot that that needed to keep evolving, are like wait, what happened? Like it's different. It's like, I mean, it kept evolving. Like I don't know if there's a technical wave number now, but like we kept going, you know.
It's how things go. We keep moving and changing. And I mean, like, ideally, we took Crenshaw and Hill Collins wrote about intersectionality, you know, like in the 90s. It, you know, only took, you know, 30 years for people to start really, well, white people to really catch on to that and see why it was important. And so, I just like, maybe we can just start like decreasing that gap a little.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. You know, it's funny because when I came to Derby, I was like a baby queer, like just starting to think about my sexuality more other than just like passing as straight. Newsflash to past rags, I wasn't straight. But like, as I started to like grow and evolve into the queer that I am today, at first I thought that roller derby was like this haven and it was so awesome and it's so cool. And look, I can explore my sexuality. And now I'm at the stage where it's like, okay, I'm like a full grown queer now. I have accepted my gender new identity. I am engaged to a woman. Roller derby needs to work on a lot of shit.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, but like it just kind of hit me as both you and I were talking that when I first joined, it really did feel like a haven of inclusivity and like this is a safe space for me to figure out myself, figure out my sexuality, figure out my needs, figure out who I want to be and where I want to be in the world. And now, after a few years of playing, I'm like, this is not at all what I thought it was going to be. And by that, I mean, like, it needs to be a lot more than what it is now.
Yeah, agreed. It really needs to evolve and catch up, like, pretty bad.
Yeah.
But I can relate to that experience as well. Like, I think that there's been a lot of my own, just like understanding around being non-binary and whatnot that has happened from both QSA and just like being involved in the Derby community. I think for me, that was kind of how I found my local queer community. Like, I had moved across the states and I needed to move away from being like in bar, like queer life, like out at the bar and drinking queer life. And so roller derby was queers who weren't out of the bar, and that was great. And so I felt, like you said, like it was kind of a safe haven in that regard. And I think that a lot of folks that I know now who came to it for that reason are, realizing how deeply rooted in white feminism it is. And that needs to change for just a lot of reasons.
Yeah. I'm just exhausted from fighting from the inside. And like, when you're just like, maybe I'll leave Derby. I'm like, I love the sport so much. And I love like my tiny community that I've built from it. But also like, I am very tired of having to argue about like why I'm valid and why it's important to really incorporate inclusion and why diversity is very important and like access and equity and things like that are really important, and it shouldn't be a thing, like a second thought, like we should be doing it, like
why we should respect pronouns.
Mm-hmm, that should that should be the easiest one anyway. I think Derby needs to, and the skating community needs to catch up, because I'm really tired, and I can't imagine how someone with more marginalized identities would feel, you know, like,
yeah, absolutely. I think that again, one of the things that I guess we'll sort of be getting at on Saturday is just you know, like, I think that a lot of the kind of governing bodies, whether you want to call that WFDA or MRTA, or whether you want to call that like the league structure, like whoever sits kind of at like the board of directors or the, you know, whoever is organizing a league, I think that folks keep waiting for those like policy changes to kind of come from the top there, like whether that's WFTA and then each of the leagues, or whether like your league owner or whatever, you know, puts something in place and then folks kind of fall in line. And I just don't think that my personal politics like believe that that's going to be how it happens anymore. Like, I think that we've really got to get people like thinking about these things on a much more personal level and truly like unpacking some of these things at a much, much more fundamental, like one-on-one kind of level, so that they can even build the tools that are right for their own leagues and stuff, because this doesn't look the same at a league. I'm from the Midwest, so like this doesn't look the same back home as it does out here now that I'm in Los Angeles. That's always very clear to me. It's like a lot of the smaller Midwest leagues a lot of the smaller leagues outside of big cities get kind of left out of that equation and stuff sometimes. So I think that I am also involved in like some WFTA work. I'm on the D&I committee for WFTA, and I'm technically an accountability partner. Queer Skate Alliance is an accountability partner for WFTA. But I think that one thing that I struggle with transparently even there is just that, yeah, that fight between kind of like changing policy stuff versus like getting people to really understand this is like beyond policy. This is like, it's not kind of like you said, you shouldn't begrudgingly be like, oh, I guess I got to make my D&I like, you know, group now because that's what's important for roller derby. It's like, no, this is like important on a fundamental level. Like, you are actively engaged with holding people down and not allowing them to thrive, you know? And so, yeah, getting people those tools on a more ground level is super important.
Yeah. And I think also that that part is really essential in order to like create that buy-in, in order for like, even if the policies get created, to like be enforced properly, and people to actually like abide by them. Yeah, and I think that creating that buy-in and that understanding and teaching why people need to be empathetic is, you know, that is like a vital piece of the puzzle that I think a lot of times we are missing, because that is why people are like, well, I guess I have to ask this person's pronouns.
Sure. A lot of leagues reach out for like kind of like how to social media type things. Like, leagues want to say the right thing. And to some extent, like, I get that leagues want to say the right thing. But on the other hand, like I mentioned before, sometimes I think it's a lot more about exposing the fact that they're not handling it correctly, where this like fear about posting the wrong thing comes in. But I also usually urge them to like don't just post about it. Like, it's great that you posted that trans lives matter, but when somebody comes to your league, they have to check male or female in a box. So like, you know, like there is just this big disconnect between what you're putting up online or like what that facade is and like what it looks like structurally at your league too. So it's like, if you get it at the unpacking level, then it's time to start putting it into policy. But you have to like get some of those pieces kind of rolling, or get folks to start thinking about how they're involved in that process when they don't think that they are, or when they don't think that they're contributing to it in any way. That is, yeah, that's kind of where some of it has to start for some folks, I think.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed Zen and View as much as we did. If you want to reach out to us, you can email us at frowpalpodcast@gmail.com, or you can find us on social media on Facebook and Instagram at frowpalpodcast. And we will also include some links to Queer Skate Alliance and the awesome Knapsack series they are putting on. And you should really check them out. And as always, friends, don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
It was off time, but it was the same melody.